I have a praise report from India, so I'll be over there in maybe about 6 weeks. Sherrard wrote me a very exciting letter. The Groundsbrocken and the worship center, the worship hall foundation has started on the land of Camp Heaven. And by the time Jesse and I get there, it might not be completed. But Pastor Sherrard wants to dedicate it to the Lord first, but to Dave Wells afterwards, because Dave was like his godfather to him. And 46 years they never met in this life. But the other testimony he's noticed now is that I told you many times that they never believed in praying for people because they didn't know it was God's will. Now you think that that's almost nothing, like we know that it is, but there are places where people don't pray for others because they don't have that confidence and that assurance. But what's been happening is since 2001, there would be people, gypsy people would come, or the widows, or people in the villages would come, and not only to be prayed for their physical needs, demonic possession, all kinds of things that you most of the time wouldn't be familiar with, the certain sicknesses and diseases that are in these places. But the thing that touched me so greatly is their childlike faith, and they would bring little bottles of cooking oil or sunflower oil or sometimes even just water, because that's all they had, and they would bring them in little cups or bottles and have me pray for those. They would then go back to their village and pray for the sick people and anoint them with those bottles of oil or even just plain water, and the testimonies are coming back that the body of Christ over there is increasing because they finally got it.
Praise God.
And they are going out and doing likewise in all these villages, and many times there's very few buses, no trains. It's word of mouth. They walk. Many of them don't have cars. They don't have motorbikes or scooters. Some do, but very few don't. And so the word, just go take what you've received and bless somebody else with it. And that is just so changed Sherrard's attitude about prayer. All those pictures he took of the way I lay hands on people, and it was like he'd never seen that. 40 years he labored in those villages, and he never saw what we do every week. And he documented it. And he's got copies of all those pictures. And he even got Hindu newspaper photographers to come and take videos to document what his eyes were seeing and the testimonies of the people, how God even cares about them. And he wrote this letter about laying hands on stinking, rotting feet and smelly heads and all that, because that's what he saw. And that's his words of description of how, who would come from America and go there. That's a plus for us, because we will and we do. And it's a boast on God that can work in your heart and in your spirit to send you to places where, no, it's not clean. Faith gives me Germex, and most of the time I don't use it, I give it away. And I don't want to insult somebody that brings me a plate of cookies, excuse me, you know, and I have to do this in front of everybody after I've just prayed for all of them. I know she means well, but it isn't clean. And there are all kinds of sicknesses and diseases and germs and bacteria and viruses that people can't get to a hospital, or there's very few doctors, in some places none. They have a childlike faith that just permeates through them. To just the last time I went, this lady brought just a little drinking cup of water. It was a little metal and has a little lip on it for drinking tea, and you hold it at the top like that so you don't burn your hands. She had that with water, set it on the floor, a dirt floor, and said, "Will you pray over that? Because we want to take it out and sprinkle it on our crops so that the wild elephants won't come and stomp and trample our crops." Can you imagine that kind of faith? Do you have it? We have leaping beef. We build fences and then shoot them if they're landing in the garden and eating your radishes or whatever, you know. But they would just believe that if they just sprinkle that water, the elephants wouldn't come and destroy their crops. I mean, that, I just marvel. That's the simplicity and childlike faith that I don't ever, ever want to lose. There would be people that would be absolutely insulted to lower themselves to go and sit on a dirt floor and pray over a little drinking cup of water. Oh, you foolish people, how could you possibly believe that God would do that? Religious people would. They wouldn't go there and do that. But see what? See, I've turned into one of you. Crazy radical for Jesus. Not crazy in a sense, crazy by this world standards, but this is a house full of people that are known around the world, just like one of the original prophecies that came to this church, David, many years ago. Some of you have never heard this, but when we were here, probably less than 2 years, maybe three, as it would have been around 1990, this man from Silver Dollar City came, and he used to have his little gold pouch with a gold nugget in his pouch. David Gates was his name, Gates. And he would sing and play his guitar and pull out his gold nugget, and all the little kids would sit up here in the front, and he would tell his stories. And right in the middle of a song, he said, I don't hardly ever do this, and I'm very nervous about doing this, because he didn't want to stop in the middle of a song, but the Spirit came on him so strongly. And he said, about, I don't know, there's probably 20 of us here maybe then, but the word that he spoke, you will never be large in numbers, but you'll be known around the world. And then he carried on singing through his tears. A lot of people came and a lot of people went that prophesied great, big, glorious things. And those were fine. And I have a future to look forward to seeing those prophecies come to pass. But that one that this man spoke, and he didn't know anything about any of us, how true that's been, that we would be few in number, not large in numbers, but we'd be known around the world. And God has opened up those doors. People are amazed, even right in Chester. Well, who sponsors you to go to India? Who sponsors you to go to the Philippines? Do you ever get asked questions like that? Who are you connected to? Yeah. DirecTV. He speaks, he directs, and we go. Hallelujah. Oh, I should get with the opening scripture before we just get with it here. I don't know. This is good. Thank you. Yes, let's do that. Father, we thank you that when we come together in prayer, that we're in agreement, not only those of us that are praying, but that we would be in agreement with the will of the person as well. And we thank you that you have not caused your children to be orphans or abandoned or left. We thank you that through the power of prayer, we bring our petition before you, that you would provide a new home for Donna Lynn and her family, including her dog. We thank you that there's somebody that's just been waiting to make their apartment or their house available. And we thank you that through the Holy Spirit speaking to both parties, that you'll bring them together and terms of agreement will happen. It'll be just the right price and it'll be exactly what they're looking for. And we thank you that it won't be long and we'll have a new praise report to add to one of our Sunday morning services that you have done as she has asked. And we thank you that she knows that when she's in trouble, she can call upon any of us. And we indeed will just stop whatever we're doing and we'll pray. Thank you, Father, for that divine connection. Thank you that her worries and anxieties will be calmed by the Holy Spirit, who manifests your peace within her, that this matter is taken care of and that she needs to begin packing and getting ready for the move. And it might come sooner than what she's planning, but we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So opening scripture this morning comes from the book of Hebrews. That's the coffee chapter. Some churches have a coffee hour. It's out on their sign, but we come in here and we study Hebrews, and God is always brewing up something good in the Spirit for all of us to partake of. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14. And this is a very profound verse of Scripture, because there are countless multitudes who do not believe this verse. That's why I like it. Hebrews 10:14, King James, "For by one offering," and we know who the one offering was, it was Jesus Christ on the cross, "he has," past tense, "perfected," or made complete, "forever, them that are sanctified." Now I want to talk about, what does it mean to be sanctified? That word means set apart, declared holy, and consecrated. Did you know that God has declared you holy? He has declared you consecrated. He's declared you set apart. He has chosen you out of this world. All of your sins are forgiven. They've been blotted out. There's no more in it. There's no sins that the blood of Jesus has not covered and taken care of. They've been removed. They've been thrown as far as the east is from the west. They've been thrown in the sea of forgetfulness. And not only this, but he's also made each believer the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you were still unchanged, the Holy Spirit wouldn't find a very good home. But now, because of the work at the cross and you taking advantage of that, the benefits, the blessing of knowing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the blessing of knowing that Christ's blood has been shed on the mercy seat in heaven, just like in the Old Testament, the tabernacle, it was patterned after the heavenly, the blood that the priests sprinkled on the mercy seat of a goat. You can read these things in Hebrews 8, chapters 8 through 10. It talks a lot about the sacrifices, and then it comes to the one. This is forever. Forever for you means forever. I didn't bring my screwy Bible this morning, because that would probably say something like, "For by one offering, he'll let you slide on Sunday because you came to church, but boy, you better watch out come Monday morning. He's got your number. He's taking notes and checking them twice and all that." Sanctified, set apart, made holy. So many times people act like they don't believe that. And they get into the beating themselves up and condemning themselves. And yet Romans 8:1 talks about, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Well, there is condemnation if we're walking in the flesh, because we don't see the works of God when we're looking at the flesh. But when you're walking after what the Holy Spirit is doing, you see yourself as God sees you. That's the true picture of yourselves. The mirror that God had, the image that he used was Christ when he made you. How can you find fault with that? How can you continue to look at yourselves and find fault and criticize and say all those ugly things you say about yourselves? Sometimes you have your favorite name you call yourselves. Some of you do. I do. I'm Saint Richard from Chester. I'm glad to meet you today, saints. I don't say that lightly, but I say it from a knowledge and a revelation of the Scripture. A lot of people don't believe that they've been sanctified. That means to be made holy. People try to be instead of just being. When you realize what God has already done, oh my, it's so much easier. It's like, I'm really thankful. I never question a pilot when I go flying. I just believe that, you know, he's part of the crew that God put together to take me where I need to be and take me there safely. I don't even question it. And if God says these things about me, I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to walk it out. And it, you know, the funny thing of it is, it doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. If God said it, that settles it. The truth has been established as soon as God spoke something. And think of this, they didn't have the written papers like we have. We got the book all put in nice pages and chapters and verses. These people, when they heard the Spirit and they wrote, or they documented what they heard. Now, we have the written word that we can go back to what they said. And if we have time to go on after praise and worship, I really don't know. I don't make any big plan for Sunday except to be here and see what happens. Because I tell you, you're not getting in the river without me. We're all jumping in together. If you're going to have a party, you better invite me, because I'm going to be right there with you. And it's good. You know it is. It's really good. Where else can we go and just edify each other with testimonies and praises of God's goodness and speak those words of encouragement to one another? We need that. And it's important. And we're not so overly populated that it works here. Morning, and actually for several weeks, we began learning some more about the various spiritual manifestations that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and each time we begin to speak about them, isn't it just awesome that the Holy Spirit just shows up and he confirms those things from his word, like he should. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And so there's quite a principle there. We started 3 weeks ago on prophesying, if you will. And prophesying is declaring something that the Holy Spirit has imparted to you to speak. It didn't come from your natural understanding. You can't just sit in a chair and make something up. It's Spirit-inspired. David's word this morning was such that he prophesied about a word to you not to look to see the real you by the image you see in the mirror of your face, but the image that you see of yourselves in the word. Because that's always from God's perspective. And that's very compatible with other things that we've learned together about learning to see ourselves as who God says we are, what he says we can do, what we have that he says that he's provided. But in the purpose of prophecy, and we will eventually come to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where we can read a little more detail. This is just kind of some guidelines as we come into this. There's a lot more. But prophecy always exalts Jesus as the only Savior of men, Revelation 19:10. It is for women as well as for men, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Acts 2:15 through 16. And it is to be desired. That's very important, that you come desiring to be used of the Lord. And it may not just be prophecy, it might be a message in tongues. You might have an interpretation of someone else's message in tongues from the Lord. But come being willing, be ready, and open for God to use you, because we contain his presence, we contain his Spirit. Its purpose is to always edify, exhort, and to bring comfort. 1 Corinthians 14:3. I'd like to look at some of these scriptures and not just read them. Prophecy always exalts Jesus as the only Savior of men, Revelation 19:10. Ah, the wind is here blowing Kenny's songs on the floor. Very cool. Revelation. Get a revelation of a revelation. Revelation 19:10. And there is so much more to all of these than the depth that we'll probably cover them in a public gathering on a Sunday morning. Seminars are more appropriate, where you could do 4 or 5 sessions a day for, what do you think, Dave, 2 or 3 years? There's so much more. I just want to entice you to pursue these further on your own, if I can just be used of the Lord to present you a glimpse, if you will, of how learning about these takes you beyond just your everyday living. These take you to a whole new level, if you will, a mindset that's so set in the things of the Lord that you won't want to come back to just normal everyday stuff. Revelation 19:10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see that I do it not. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God for the testimony of Jesus in the spirit of prophecy. So it's another one of many verses that has to do with prophecy or prophesying, because one is a prophecy. It's just the difference between whether there's a C in the word or an S in the word that make the difference. You can speak, prophesy, or God will give you a prophecy that will come through as a word of wisdom because it pertains to the future. A word of knowledge pertains to the present, but when you speak it out, you're prophesying. I don't make that to be confusing, but it's just the way the Spirit works. And if it's written like that, it has to be the way it is. But he makes mention, when the testimony of Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Jesus was given a name above every name, in heaven and earth, things in the earth, things under the earth, everywhere. His name is the top. And so when anyone prophesies in the name of Jesus, you're speaking with that authority and the power of the Holy Spirit that comes upon you to speak the words he gives you. I've been present in meetings where people were told to line up and then tell everybody to prophesy. And I was a little nervous when it came my turn, because I didn't sense that I was being inspired, if you will, by the Spirit to come up with something Johnny on the spot and prophesy. And that was in the very beginning, but I've come to realize that if you declare what the Word says about you, I could just say something like, when I look out and see you, you are my beloveds. You're the Father's beloveds, but you're my beloved. You're filled with grace and truth. You've been given a name that was like no other name. You're now called Christians, the Christ-like ones, the anointed ones. The Word of God dwells richly in your hearts. The Word of God is renewing your minds. You're being built up into a holy temple in the Lord, and speaking like those things. The Holy Spirit gives me those things to say, but they're true and they're all based on the Word. A true prophecy won't contradict the Scriptures. It'll be in accordance with the Scriptures. And when you just speak it out like that, so many times you don't have to quote a verse of Scripture when you can just prophesy when you speak it, because then even in unsaved people where they wouldn't even expect anything like that to happen, you can prophesy the word into a person's life by simply speaking it. If you tell them the verse and scripture number, they may run away from you. But if it just comes out in a conversation, suddenly they're going to know what was you and what wasn't. It makes a difference, because there's anointing on prophecy. But it always edifies and builds up. I have a couple examples just for today. Acts chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. Acts 19. And there's a little clue here how something happens before a person prophesies. In these instances I'm going to give you, it isn't always that way. Acts 19, verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ's coming. You and I could be the forerunners of Christ's second coming. And we're to announce periodically that don't get caught by the wayside. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Don't fall for the lie that speaking in tongues is of the devil. Now, I know none of you would do that here because you've been around in Pentecostal circles for many years, most of you, and you won't fall for that lie. Every place that you can find that has to do with tongues, the Holy Spirit's connected. Did you ever notice that? It's places like this that you can bring people that, because I like to use these as a teachable moment. We who know already these things, but if you mark certain scriptures, because these things do come up in conversation sometimes, they're a place of reference that you can bring somebody and show them another instance in the scriptures where tongues is associated with the Holy Spirit. But notice, it's after the Holy Spirit came upon them. And that's really important. That's the difference. And they prophesied. Now, I often wondered, there's no record of what they said. Because I want to dig. I want to know, what did they say? If someone is prophesying, I want to hear what they say, don't you? Some of you at least. I'm curious, George. I want to know. And I have to find it. So I didn't find it there. So I kept looking. I came across another scripture in Acts 21, verses 8 and 9. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Now that's for the religious folks, that women can prophesy too. Absolutely. So if you're in the house of a Pharisee, the Pharisee's probably going to have a problem. And I know the Sadducees would just be fit to be tied, because they don't even believe in Christ's resurrection, and that's why they're sad, you see. They have no hope. But here you see, it's not specifically relegated to just men, because when you're in the Lord, brothers and sisters in the faith, we're all of the same spirit. We're one in Christ, and it's the same Holy Spirit that speaks in and through all of us. So they didn't say what they said either. So I kept looking. See, I start doing that. If I don't find an answer to what I'm looking for, I keep searching the Word until I find what I'm looking for. Well, I found what I was looking for. Would you like to see what I was looking for? You would? You got time? It won't take long. Come on. Come on now, I got to mess with you a little bit, you guys. See, we're all in this together, so we'll look together, because if I don't know the answer, we'll find it together. The Lord will show us. Luke chapter 1. And since we were just talking about John the Baptist, there's an interesting account of Zacharias, John's father. See, John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins. And Zechariah prophesied. And it didn't just say that he prophesied. I found what he said, and that's cool. I just got to share it with you. You know, because that's a mystery. If you see prophesy, what did they say? Well, we don't know, but they prophesied. Because it says they prophesied. Here it tells you what he said. And the father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying... Now we're going to see what he said. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us to the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. Yes, it's getting smaller. The oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, and holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's what Zechariah prophesied. I'm sure he had to take more than one breath. He didn't stutter, he didn't stammer, there's no indication that he heard this from any other source. And the word says that the Holy Spirit came upon him and he prophesied, and this is what he spoke concerning the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who had already come, but he's prophesying all the scriptures that told of Christ to come for the nation of Israel. And Zechariah spoke that out. And when someone prophesies, it's really speaking, if you will, something that God has said or something that God has done. And he gives you a word to confirm that. And you don't only maybe speak it just in a public gathering, but the Lord may show you or have a word for you from someone else who comes to you and says, I have a word for you. And we talked about that in the beginning of this, about we need to discern by the Spirit, did this really come from the Lord? Not to judge or be critical or not allow people grace to at least speak what they believe the Lord gave them, and then to weigh the prophecy to see if it really was a true word. Because that's very important. I've shared with you some of the things that were said before I went overseas. And there's one still pending for this trip. I think I'm going to bring it and read it to you next week. Because I really want you to see from a perspective that maybe you're not used to hearing from. See, pastors and leaders oftentimes, they keep their congregations in the dark about how stuff works so you're more manageable and controllable. No, I want you so out of control of yourselves that you'll be coming under the control of the Holy Spirit. And I'm perfectly willing to share things with you so that you can see we're all talking about the same thing, but there's a different perspective. There's another side of that. There's one where you may have a word and you speak that into somebody's life, but what are you going to do with something that somebody speaks into your life? Yes, discernment, and that's so important. So out of all of this, get discernment, get understanding, get wisdom. And so next week, I'll make sure that I print it out because I saved it. It was so prophetic because I want to bring it to India. And if the prophecy that I was given about my trip comes to pass, it'll come to you by Pastor Sherrard's email. I won't be here to bring it back because that's the kind of prophecy that I got. But I want to show you why whenever you set foot out to go anywhere or do anything and someone has given you a word, you better check it out. You better pray. You better do some fasting, because if you don't have peace about it, don't do it. You need to have peace. It needs to be settled and established. So those are some little side things. And that's why I'm really not in a hurry to get through this. Because the Holy Spirit is not a God of confusion, a spirit of confusion. And He doesn't lie. And He makes the will of the Father known to all of us. And all of us, at one time or another, have the ability to prophesy as the Lord gives the utterance to us. The Spirit will give us the utterance. And also next week, perhaps, we'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I remember asking you a couple weeks ago to read chapter 14 and kind of familiarize yourself, because you're going to see tongues, two different kinds of tongues within that text. You're going to see prophesying, and you're going to see how it all fits in the body of Christ and what very valuable tools they are. So hopefully next week I won't talk so long and you'll get a chance to hear that. But I don't make any guarantees.